Okay.
She talks off to it, that he was put on this committee and put in the spotlight. And influenced the church hierarchy to see to it that this guy behaved himself.
So this was an antagonism not between black and white kids, but between Jewish kids and kids from another area other than Swirl, Illinois.
That's right. The black presence in Squirrel Hill was really very good. And I don't remember more than a handful of black youngsters in my class.
What about in your home? How did you observe your Jewishness in your home?
Well, we belonged to the Little Show congregation, and I guess you remember the extent to which the Reform practice departed from Orthodox practice. And so there was a difference in staying home. Mother always felt that if you were going to stay home from school, you had to be going to temple. And if Rosh Hashanah didn't have an appropriate service on that day,
so you went to school on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, for instance.
Second day. And
were you bar mitzvah?
No, I wasn't.
You weren't. Okay.
And that was also in the early version of Rosh
Hashanah. Right.
And I guess there was never a great fuss about it, because my parents didn't have rigid practices to that extent, but other members of our family did, as was often the case, belong to a couple of congregations. So it was you find a lot of people who, although they were confirmed at the Rosh Hashanah, were bar mitzvah in some other
church. How did you celebrate holidays? Or did you?
Oh, yes, we never missed it. Seder. And in fact, there I think we often were involved in two Seders because of all kinds of. And then we would sometimes. things. Whereas Dad's version of the Seder was always somewhat abbreviated. I remember him saying, crossed every T and dotted every I. In one breath, so. Inhale.
He had it all done.
Just go for a couple of hours. So those, you know, those impressions are quite vivid. But the whole sequence of Hollywood was well established. Still is.
And it is a joy, I think. Can you tell us something about your schooling? How it, you know, Linden, Alderdice, and then on to college.
Well, I think a few quite good teachers. And I had some who were not so good. In Linden School, I guess some teachers taught a couple of subjects. I remember Ms. Doherty taught arithmetic and what was it? American history. And she was a pretty rough taskmaster and assistant. Do everything necessary. But there were a couple of people who were quite enlightened. There was Mrs. Marsh, who was a music teacher, and who was probably the first person, I think, in public schools who made sure that appropriate music, or music appropriate to the Jewish
holiday,
was included.
Was she Jewish?
No.
That's very nice, very generous.
She was a widow, had two children, and a person of very broad cultivation. She later became principal of a group of primary schools in the state. And she was a very good friend of my mother's. But she saw to it that, that people got very useful exposure. Content of the music and the history was conveyed through the music. Now, the teaching at Alderdice was somewhat different story. They had a few people who had much higher level of training than was customary in public school. I mean, this was a result of the Depression. You had professional chemists and engineers and whatnot who supported themselves as high school teachers. There, one name that stands out, they had taught chemistry long ago. He's still alive.
is Hebrew. I didn't know that. Is Hebrew.
He ends up in slippery rock.
Does he?
He might be able to.
Really? Would he be happy? Yeah. Oh, he called me a charity all through school.
Well, you know, he certainly provided an introduction to science for many people who eventually pursued scientific careers. And I guess he was not exactly enlightened, liberal educator. He used to tease the girls. Commercialism.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And some didn't like it very much. But I think everyone who went through his classes had a very valuable experience. There were some excellent teachers of English. Miss Riddle.
Miss Riddle. Mm-hmm.
And there was some. Latin.
Oh, Mrs. Simpson.
Mrs. Simpson. Who transmitted some appreciation of the classic world.
She terrified me. She absolutely terrified me.
Well, she was not a person burdened with too much humor.
No.
But she, I think, she understood why the teaching of these things was important.
Right.
I think many teachers of classics in high school were doing it more as a mechanical. Remember, she would have quizzes about what was going on. Ancient times. So I think that the education was relevant. I seem to remember lots of discussions of world events, things that were happening abroad. I don't believe there was anyone who was ignorant of what was going on in Europe. And when I went to college, I found that my background in English and other things was perfectly adequate. I had no trouble competing with graduates of fancy prep schools.
Where did you go to college?
Harvard.
Uh-huh.
And
your degree was in?
Chemistry and physics. So,
may I ask a question to interrupt, and I apologize. Did your father also go to Harvard?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yes, he did.
Okay. So your undergraduate degree was in chemistry and physics?
That's right.
Graduate degree?
It was a Bachelor of Arts.
Yeah, well, but then you got a graduate degree, master's degree.
I got my master's and doctor's degree at Carnegie Tech.
But you went into the service, is that right?
I went into the service and...
wait, 1 second. And that degree was in what?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree in physics.
Right.
And then I have a doctorate in physics.
Did you go into the service before you got your undergraduate degree?
Yes.
Your in other words, that was interrupted.
I have completed the equivalent of my sophomore year when I was back. And I was in service, the active service, from, I guess, must have been December or August, maybe November or something like that, 1942 until service. Signal Corps, and then I went into it. I was shunted around as manpower needs change. I went through Officer Candidate School and tanks, Armored Force, at Fort Knox, Kentucky. Before that, I might mention, I had an interesting experience of going through a Signal Corps school near Washington that was devoted to cryptanalysis and related things. But that was already with special emphasis on European theater. And by the time I was eventually sent overseas, they sent me to the Pacific. So I served as a communications officer.
We are in the Pacific Theater.
Pacific Theater. I got there just about the last gasp. I was then moved on to Japan, and I spent a year in the occupation. It was an education.
Then when you came home, you went immediately back to school?
That's right. I came home in August of 1946. Came back to Pittsburgh immediately. Went up to Cambridge and enrolled for the fall semester. Finished my bachelor's degree, the equivalent of three semesters.
Wow.
And graduated in September 19th. Question of what I should do next, and I had two possibilities. One was to go to medical school, which probably would have pleased my father, but he didn't never press the issue. He felt much more important that you do what you enjoy. I adhere to the same notion of dealing with my children. And it works out very well. And fortunately, I had an alternative that was made accessible to me by Professor Eskimon.
Was he at Carnegie Tech?
He was at Carnegie Tech. He had come at the time Hitler arrived as associate to Otto Scher. Otto Scher won the Nobel Prize.
Oh, he was at Carnegie Tech?
That's right. One of the most important physicists of the 20th century.
Oh.
And very few people know that he was in Pittsburgh. And Esteban was associated with him. Many of the most famous and important experiments done. So he asked me if I was interested in coming in, working in his laboratory. I said yes. And I don't regret it.
The die was cast.
The die was cast. Mm-hmm. And apart from, well, Joan and I were married before I actually got my doctorate. And afterward, I had a Fulbright scholarship, and we went to Europe. Fulbright Fellow at the University of Leiden.
In the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful experience. Of course, we were able to travel, see Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And lead a rather carefree existence.
So you had your doctorate, and you went on a Fulbright scholarship,
Fulbright.
And you were newly married.
That's
and
right.
Sort of footloose. And
that's right.
What a wonderful time of life it must have been.
It was, I think, everything that the circumstances imply.
That's perfect, right.
And I guess the only thing that we somehow regretted was that we didn't apply for an extension to got it. But in those days, if you had spent 3 years in the Army,
mm-hmm.
you felt somehow the need to make up for lost time.
So, right.
And so I worked very hard. And the question was what to do after we finished in Holland.
Right.
And I made inquiries and had some offers from various government laboratories and various industrial places and one or two universities. And to no one's great surprise, I elected to come back to Pittsburgh and joined the department at Carnegie Tech.
How long have you stayed at Carnegie?
And been there ever since, with the exception of a year in 1965-66 when I was a fellow of the Guggenheim Foundation. University of London.
Mm-hmm.
Bessie and Aaron were already big enough to enjoy some of the events here. Well, we traveled.
Was Susan with you then? Was she?
I think she was already aboard.
Except that it's on the tape, of course. And if she ever listens to the tape.
Could you tell us something about how you met Joan and something about Joan?
Oh, shall I really give you a story?
Sure.
Okay. Now.
When was she born?
She was born 2 years after I was.
May 7th, 1927.
And
her maiden
name? Lillian Brest, B-R-E-S-T.
Joan Brest.
Sorry.
Was her name Lillian Brest?
That's
her mother was Lillian Brest. Lillian.
And her father's name was Aaron.
Was she a Pittsburgher?
No. They were from Boston. And her father was originally a lawyer and gone back to the soil during the Depression. Student at Bryn Mawr at the time, and that's where she graduated with great distinction.
What was her major?
English.
Slip another tape in.
Sure.
Are you feeling tired, or are we out wearing?